Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you.
That's the Beatles' Ed Sullivan Show, 1964. The news today, the Beatles are back in a whole new format, video game. The Beatles Rock Band comes out tomorrow. With an Xbox or Wii or PlayStation, you can be the Beatles. Whether that strikes you as cool or silly may or may not depend on your age. The New York Times calls it a cultural watershed. This hour, On Point, music, video games, and now, the Beatles. You can join the conversation. Is this a whole new way to engage music? Is it for you? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now in our studio is Alex Rigopoulos. He's co-founder and CEO of Harmonix Music Systems, which developed the first Guitar Hero game in 2005. In 2006, Harmonix was acquired by MTV Games for $175 million. Harmonix now makes the Rock Band games, the first of which came out in 2007. The Beatles Rock Band will be released tomorrow. Alex and Harmonix co-founder Aaron Ergozzi made Time Magazine's 2008 list of the 100 most influential people in the world. Alex, welcome to On Point.
Thank you very much, Tom, for having me.
Big day coming out tomorrow, the Beatles in this form. When you first began this with Guitar Hero, way back when, did you ever imagine that you would get these guys not just to be in a game, but to kind of play along? I mean, these were big digital holdouts. The Beatles didn't even want their stuff on iTunes.
Yeah, well, this has been a lifelong dream to actually have an opportunity to work with these guys and this music. And I think that no sane person will realistically expect that it's likely to happen, but certainly it's something that we've hoped would happen for many years. And I think with the explosive success we've finally seen with music games, with Rock Band over the last few years, we finally had an opportunity.
And these guys, those who remain, rest in peace John Lennon, are ready to stand up and say they like it. Here they are at the E3 Gaming Exposition this year. Ringo Stahl, Paul McCartney, with kind words for the Beatles Rock Band.
The game is good. The graphics are very good. And we were great.
Now, we love the game. It's fantastic. Who would ever thought we'd end up as androids? But
I like the way I walk.
I like the way I walk, says Ringo. The game is good, says Ringo. And Beatles is androids, Paul McCartney. You had Yoko Ono in your shop kind of advising you on this and others as well. I mean, what did you need to know from them?
Well, I mean, the facets of the game in which we had creative involvement from all four of the shareholders. And when I say the shareholders, I mean the four principals of AppleCore, meaning Sir Paul and Ringo and Yoko Ono Lennon and Olivia Harrison. Their involvement ranged from everything from the song selection in the game to making sure that we were crafting the historical narrative right, to the way that the game looked, the way that the characters looked in the game and moved in the game. And really, it was a privilege to have them creatively involved, and we couldn't have made the game that we made without their perspective.
We've got to get to some basics here. We're going to have people who are real aficionados of Guitar Hero who, you know, love to strap it on and go crazy on a Saturday night making their own music, sort of, to these games, and others who have never touched them. If, you know, Ma and Pa Kettle get the Beatles Rock Band and put it in their kids' PlayStation 2 or 3 or whatever it is that it runs on tomorrow, what are they going to see? What do they do? What do you do with this game?
So I'll describe basically what's going on. So on the screen, what you see in the background, what you'll see is the Beatles on stage performing their music.
That is kind of avatars or electronic depictions of the Beatles.
Yes, computer graphics depictions of them, which change over the course of their career, of course.
They grow beards. Yeah. They get beads. They look Maharishi at certain points. Yeah.
In the foreground, you see the gameplay interface, and that's for multiple instruments. There's guitar and bass and drums and singing. singing for actually up to three singers in this game. So in the foreground, what you see is, let me start with guitar, you'll see these multicolored, what we call gems, flowing towards you on the screen. And those, each of those gems corresponds to a note in the music. And if you're holding a guitar, you have on the neck of the guitar multicolored buttons, which correspond to the colors of the notes on the screen.
And we should specify, this is a rock band. This is part of the game. It's like a little, it's like a toy plastic guitar.
That's
right. Sort of half size of an ordinary guitar, maybe, or less.
That's correct. I say guitar, but it's a guitar game controller. It's a game controller in the shape of a guitar.
And on its neck, it has buttons that correspond to these jewels or colored symbols on the screen.
That's right. And those colored symbols are essentially telling you which notes to play on the guitar controller when. So when one of these, say, a blue button flows past the front of the screen, a blue gem, then you want to hold down the blue button on the neck of the guitar and then at the right moment strum what we call the strum bar on the guitar in order to tell the game that you want to play then.
And the game is listening to how well and when you strum, how well and when you drum and sing and all the rest, and it's grating. I mean, in the past, in these games, you get booed off the stage. The Beatles are much too sweet for that. But still, you kind of get scored on this constantly as you're trying to play along with your buddies.
Well, you do, and if you're strumming at the wrong time or you're pressing the wrong buttons, then the wrong notes will come out. The music won't sound right. If you do that too many times in a row, you'll get booed off the stage in the traditional Rock Band games, not in the Beatles game. But the flip side of that is when you get it, when you lock into the music and you start playing correctly, you actually have become an active participant in the music making, which feels incredibly good and which connects people to the music in a way that they never had been before, just as passive listeners.
Now, here's the nub of it, maybe. I mean, some musicians, and we'll no doubt hear from some of them, look at this, a little toy guitar, some plastic buttons, not the real deal, and say, this is Mickey Mouse. Why not learn to play the guitar? On the other hand, I guess you're opening up a pathway here for a whole lot of people who don't or can't to engage with the music in a new, much more intimate way. What's the point of the Beatles Rock Band? Is that it?
Well, two aspects. So first, to go back to your point about, why not learn a real guitar? I mean, one thing is that we've found, and we hear this every single day, we found many, many people who actually are, in fact, inspired by games like Rock Band to go study real instruments. Of course, playing music in these games is not the same as really playing music, but it's a sufficient emulation of playing music that it gives the player a taste of what it really feels like to play music expertly. And unlike traditional music lessons, which are incredibly frustrating for most people, you can spend a year or 2 years before you really start to have your first joyful experience on a traditional instrument. You can have access, a glimpse of what that feels like very early on through these games, and what we found is that inspires many people to go start studying instruments. But even for those people who don't ever start to study a real instrument, what they gain through this game is an understanding and an appreciation of the music, a connectedness with the music that they've just never had as a passive listener. It gets them inside, gets their ears inside the music, and gives them a new appreciation for it.
Let's listen to a little bit. You can describe after we get a taste of it. Here's the Beatles, 1966, Paperback Writer. It's one of the songs that you too can play along with, the Beatles Rock Band.
Paperback writer. Yes, sir or madam, will you read my book? It took me years to write. Will you take a look? It's based on a novel by a man named Lear, and I need a job, so I want to be a paperback writer.
Okay, there they are, the original Fab Four. Now, if I've got the Beatles Rock Band, what's going on? What have you pulled together, and what are you presenting me with here as I'm watching a screen and holding some kind of instrument or a mic?
So that song is from the earlier period of their career. So in that case, they would be on stage performing. You'll see the Beatles at the relevant stage of their career on stage performing in the background.
The Budokan in Japan is the basis of what we're seeing there, I guess.
That's
the performance
correct.
There.
Yes. And so from the early period, there are actually four of these iconic venues, the early period from the Cavern Club, and then the appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show, Shea Stadium performance.
With all the screaming?
With all the screaming, as well as Budokan in Japan. Mm-hmm. For the latter half of the career, actually, visually, the presentation is quite different, because at that point in their career, the Beatles stopped touring and stopped performing, and they moved just into the studio and spent the next several years at Abbey Road Studio 2 recording their next several albums, which were much more experimental. Experimental and never performed live. And so in that case, we had to invent a new visual paradigm for how to present this game experience, and it was a great creative opportunity. The solution we eventually came up with was something we called Dreamscapes, where as the music begins, you see the boys sitting around in the studio starting to play their instruments, but after a few moments, as you start to play, the walls of the studio melt away.
And hallucinogenic style, almost. It looks a little Strawberry Fields Forever or Help. It all comes to mind. Who can sing those harmonies? I mean, can three or four, you know, people sit around and sing those harmonies?
Well, we've been amazed by this in this project. You know, most people have never tried to sing harmony in their lives, and even if they have, it hasn't gone terribly well. You know, singing in harmony is difficult. But the great opportunity of this game is that this music is so deeply embedded in all of us. We've all heard these songs thousands of times. They're all in our ears. And furthermore, the game presents a really effective vocal trainer that allows you to load up a song that you want to work on and hear each of the parts emphasized independently in the trainer and practice them independently and then go together and sing them with friends or family in the game. And, you know, it's been amazing for us watching in the course of the development of this project. Mm. People come into play test, and when they first, you know, fire up the vocal harmony mode and start singing, of course they can't do it and it sounds terrible, and they're all laughing at each other because it sounds bad. But then we leave them in the room for an hour and we come back an hour later and they've been working with it and the vocal trainer, and you step back into the room and there are these huge glowing smiles on these people's faces, and they are singing in harmony with each other for the first times in their lives. And you know, for us as the creators of this game, one of the most gratifying aspects of this project is just imagining that a few months from now, over the holidays, millions of people who have never had an opportunity to sing harmony before in their lives will be, you know, friends and family will be coming together to sing harmony around this music.
Maybe, like the Beatles. The Beatles Rock Band, out tomorrow. We're looking at a musical immersion, maybe a cultural immersion. Alex Rigopoulos is with us. He's been there from the beginning with Guitar Hero, now Rock Band. You can join us. Guitar Heroes, are you ready? For the Beatles, 800-423-8255 is our number. What does this mean for music? I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Talking today about the hottest thing in video games and maybe a new way to engage music. The Beatles, Rock Band, it comes out tomorrow. I Am the Walrus, there from 1967. In 2009, it's all about picking up, a toy guitar or a bass or drums or just the microphone and singing. You can join the conversation this hour. Video gamers, is this a revolution, a big deal? And non-players, do you get the hoopla? What's it mean to put the Beatles and their music in a video game? We're at 1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Alex Rigopoulos is with us. He's co-founder and CEO of Harmonix Music Systems. They developed the first Guitar Hero game in 2005. Harmonix now makes the Rock Band series of games. First one came out in 2007. Tomorrow, it's the Beatles. We're going to get a couple more perspectives here in just a second, but let's hear from our listeners. Sarasota, Florida. Kevin, you're on the air. What do you think, Kevin, of all this?
Hi, Tom. Hello, Alex. Great to talk to you guys. I was an absolute detractor and scoffed at these games as a sometime musician. I've been in bands since high school back in the 70s, and I just thought these types of games were a joke, and I was presented with Guitar Hero World Tour for Father's Day this year, and just have had an amazing time sharing these songs with my children. And like Alex was saying, the opportunity you get to feel a little bit of what it's like to be these people, and you know, it exceeded the real on stage experience for me. I've actually been on stage in the Capitol Center in Landover, Maryland, in front of 18,000 hockey fans as a side act. My band played there.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing feeling. But to sit down and play Hotel California with my 10-year-old son is overwhelming.
Is better to be in front of a video game monitor than 18,000 screaming fans, Kevin?
I actually found it more rewarding. Truthfully, it was just so much fun. I mean, my daughter's sitting here singing Steely Dan songs in the bathroom. You know, it's just so much fun to to all this music that that I've lived all my life, and my children now, you know, are just rocking everything.
It's amazing. There's some testimony. Let me get a little bit more here. Kevin, thank you for calling. Let's go to Burlington, Vermont, and Ryan. Ryan, what do you think?
Oh, hey, Tom. Hey, Alex. Now I just want to talk about the dichotomy between actually playing real instruments and playing rock band. I have a lot of friends who play instruments, and I have other friends who actually just play rock band, and I know there's kind of a mutual hatred between both of them, so I didn't know if Alex had a comment about that at all.
Mutual hatred. Why would the musicians hate the... Well, why would anybody hate anybody here?
Well, I feel like musicians think that...
I guess why would the rock banders hate the musicians? These are the guys who, after all, they make it up. I mean, without musicians, you don't have rock band.
Well, the people who play rock band, a lot of them think that just because you can play rock band, you could play an actual guitar, when it's actually very, very, very far from the truth.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. There's the cultural divide. Let me get one more. Thank you, Ryan. From Nashville, Tennessee, Jacob. You're on the air. Jacob?
Hello. I just thought it was interesting that, like, I've been playing guitar since I was a kid, and I am the absolute worst Guitar Hero guitar player ever. And, like we had a drummer, and we brought Guitar Hero on tour with us, like, back when I was in high school and stuff, like, in the summers, and he was the best. But, like, everyone else who played guitar, like, really sucked at it. And it was just really funny, like, the way it worked out.
Amateurs could play better than real musicians.
Yeah, it was really weird. Just couldn't get the coordination down with the little flip switch down there, where you're supposed to strum and everything, and the buttons. It was the timing was just a little bit different. It just made, I don't know. It's a lot different than playing regular guitar, that's for sure. And the coordination is a little different. And also, the guy that called earlier talking about his family and stuff, mm-hmm. One of the big things that I think that Guitar Hero makes Guitar Hero so popular is and rock band and things like that is the communal aspect of just hanging out with each other and having a good time. You know, these are songs that, you know, pretty much everybody likes anyways. So it usually turns into pretty much just kind of a big party. And I think that's really kind of what drives the market for these types of games.
I think you got your finger right on it there, Jacob, and thanks for calling from Nashville. Alex, there's a whole raft of people, a professional musician who says, you know, the non-players play this better. You heard the family testimony there. Everybody sings Steely Dan now at Kevin's house in Sarasota. But Ryan in Burlington saying, you know, there's a hatred between these two groups. I mean, I'm sure you make a lot of great parties happen here, the same way karaoke did. But is this evolution or devolution of our relationship with music?
Oh, well, so on the first point, I think the last caller was right that the social or communal aspect of this is a crucial ingredient of it. And the first caller, Kevin from Sarasota, I think nailed it. The point that he made, you know, he was comparing it to being on stage in front of, you know, 18,000 people. He actually enjoyed being able to rock out with his daughter. And I think that's a key point. One of the amazing things that we've seen with rock band is that cross-generational appeal, that there's this amazing feeling that you get when you're playing with your kids or your parents. They're introducing you to their music, you're introducing them to your music, and you're experiencing it together. That kind of bonding around the music is kind of new and very, very powerful. To the point you touched on, the cultural divide between, you know, real musicians and non-musicians playing this game, I think the word hatred that was just used is maybe a little too strong a word, but there's one of the reactions we've seen to these games over the years is from musicians, why don't you learn to play a real instrument? What you're doing is not really music making. And to that latter point, they're right. Playing these games isn't really playing music. And it actually breaks down a little bit by the type of instrument. I mean, the singing in these games really is singing.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the feedback you get through the gameplay about whether you're singing sharp or flat actually does help people become better singers. The drumming is actually a reasonably close facsimile to the physical gestures you need to play drums. You're kicking the kick drum and you're using two hands and synchrony on hi-hats mm-hmm. and snares and toms and whatnot. And we have seen over and over again people who develop skills on drumming through Rock Band very easily transition into real drumming. Guitar is different. The guitar controller is a very distant abstraction from a real guitar.
Half a dozen buttons and just one single little trip plastic to strum.
That's right. And so there's no way you can put down a guitar controller from Rock Band and then pick up a real guitar and start playing it. You learn some basic skills, like you have better rhythm, and you learn some basic coordination of strumming with your right hand and pitch selection with your left. But it's a much larger gap. But what does happen through playing these games is, if not education about playing a guitar, inspiration about playing a guitar. As I touched on earlier, learning to play a guitar for real is a many-year endeavor before any reward or payoff starts coming from that. It's very frustrating for quite a long time, and most people just don't have the time, talent, patience, endurance, or whatever to get through it. But when they get a taste of what's on the other side of that wall, it's very motivational for people. And I think people who are playing these games don't think they're really playing music, and I think that maybe if the musicians understood that the people who are playing these games don't actually view it as playing music, they might regard it differently. But I think one thing that musicians should recognize is that these games actually heighten people's appreciation of the artistry of music making.
Alex Rigopoulos is CEO of Harmonix Music. You've got a huge interest in what's coming out tomorrow with the Beatles Rock Band. Millions and millions on the line here. I want to get more perspective on this. A couple of voices here from New York City and really plugged-in voices. Lisa Robinson is with us. She's contributing editor for Vanity Fair, covers music and the music industry. Rolling Stone's called her rock journalism's top insider. She's interviewed all four Beatles. Lisa, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks, Tom.
And with us from New York is Heather Chaplin. She's a video game journalist, co-author of Smart Bomb, The Quest for Art, Entertainment, and Big Bucks in the Video Game Revolution. Heather, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Heather, first to you. As a marker in the evolution of the game, what do you make of what you see coming in the Beatles Rock Band?
Well, I think there's a couple things that's interesting specifically about the Beatles being used, which is, the Beatles were such an emblem of sort of everything that one generation stood for. And now we're seeing that thing being used in a medium that is very representative of a new generation. And I just find that sort of interesting. And also the idea that it's really a video game being used as a means of cultural transmission, really. That, here we have this body of music that meant so much to one generation, and now we have the opportunity to teach another generation who might otherwise not have really known about it so much all about it through playing a video game. It kind of reminds me of the Brothers Grimm didn't make up all of those fairy tales. They sort of were taking on an oral tradition and then using the technology of being able to actually publish books in a manner that people could afford to put them down in a way to spread it. So it sort of reminds me of something similar.
Lisa Robinson, I don't know how much of a gamer you are, but you certainly know the music and those who make it inside or out. I mean, I wonder what you think of the whole phenom and the way it's been received. I mean, you must have seen this review of the Beatles Rock Band in the New York Times. Seth Scheisel wrote, I mean, it's just off the charts. The Beatles Rock Band is nothing less than a cultural watershed, one that may prove only slightly less influential than the band's famous appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1964. Transformative entertainment experience. What do you say, Lisa? Do you buy that kind of hosanna?
Well, it's a bit of a hyperbole, but I still do think that he's on the right track. I've tried to play Rock Band and Guitar Hero, and I'm so terrible at it. I've always been booed off the stage. It's hard. The hand-to-eye coordination is you have to grow up, I guess, playing video games. But there's a few things I'd really like to say. Number one, this is a video game. Nobody said that you were going to learn how to play a guitar and, as Ringo put it, go play the Staples Center. I think it's great that it's a video game where people are not killing people. So if people play this game and then want to go and learn how to play a guitar, that's fabulous. That's admirable. But I don't even think that's the point. I think the point of this is that anything that can get this music across to people, and this is great music. It's still great music. It's better than Coldplay. People still read Charles Dickens and they listen to Mozart. And I just think some things are great and last, and the Beatles music deserves to be heard by a whole new generation, and this is absolutely going to do this. I mean, all the kids of my friends, now know all about Led Zeppelin or, you know, any Steely Dan, like one of your callers said, or the Eagles or whoever it is. I just think it's fantastic. I know John Lennon would have loved it. I remember.
You know that, do you?
Well, yes, and I'll tell you why. Wow. First of all, Yoko wouldn't have let you do it if he wouldn't have.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Also, in the hours and hours I spent talking to John in the last half of the 70s, we would talk about the Beatlefest, and he would say, there they are just waiting. It's not nostalgia. It's good music. Yes, they want to buy a tray or a lunchbox, but if we ever wanted to do anything again, that audience would be there waiting. It's good for the family. Mm. It's good for the music. And I think here's a new audience.
Lisa Robinson brings us John Lennon there. Here's Ringo Starr on Entertainment Tonight talking about the progression into this new video game era of Beatles music. First the interviewer, then Ringo.
How does it feel now to know that the public is going to be able to play all of your library?
It's far out. I mean, we went from vinyl to CDs, and now you can play to the music with this game.
It's great.
It's the progression. You know what I mean? It's like the butterfly keeps flying.
The butterfly keeps flying. Lisa, but what's the progression? I mean, do you see this as a new, more intimate or important way to engage with music? Is there something wrong with just sitting back and listening deeply to the Beatles play themselves?
I'm not sure that people, especially young people, with the way their lives are now and all the multitasking and emails and iPods and video games and everything else and schoolwork and soccer games, you know, have the same kind of time or interest to sit and really listen to music the way some of us might have in the 60s or the 70s. But I don't even think that that's the point. I think it's a different way of delivering music. You know, the music companies all got hysterical when digital downloading started. Mm. And instead of embracing the technology, they spent 10 years suing their customers, and as a result, they're going out of business. Music is not dying. It's just the delivery of it that's changing. And I think with the internet, I mean, look at how many iPods are on the subway. You know, you look at the internet, and you look at a game like Rock Band and Guitar Hero, and I think, actually, they're fantastic. I think they're performing tremendous services. You used to sit around, 100 years ago, people sat around a piano and played with sheet music. You know, technology always changes. And technology, when it has the opportunity to bring something cultural to people that they didn't know before, how could that possibly be bad?
And you don't care, you're the music connoisseur, and you don't care that it's a kind of a WALL-E version of music. I mean, people aren't really playing guitar. They're pressing half a dozen buttons and, you know, hitting a piece of plastic.
It's a game. They're hearing the real music.
Yes.
And it might inspire them to go and buy the real music, which certainly they're going to also have a chance to do tomorrow with, a massive 14-CD re-digital remastering reissue of all the Beatles' music again.
Coming out simultaneous with the game.
Yeah, but, you know, I just think that to be so precious about how people have to hear music is really just kind of silly, beside the point. I don't think it matters. I think that technology changes, and when you have the opportunity to embrace that technology and learn something new and good, as opposed to, as I said, just, killing people or playing basketball or whatever else video games have traditionally done in the past, I think it's fantastic. There's a whole generation that may not have known anything about the Beatles songs, and now they'll get a chance to.
Alex, we hear them being very enthusiastic, the surviving Beatles here. They have a financial interest in the success of this game, right?
Certainly they do, yeah.
And a pretty substantial one.
They do, although, frankly, I don't think that's a primary concern. I mean, I can't speak for them, obviously, but what I can tell you about the history of the evolution of this project is that business discussions didn't actually even start until very late in the project. The entire focus of all four shareholders from the very beginning for many, many months was really on the creative aspects of the project, because I think it seemed to me that for them that was far and away the most preeminent aspect of this.
We'll come back and look at that. Alex Rigopoulos is with us from Harmonix. Lisa Robinson's here. Heather Chaplin. The Beatles weren't the first to go to the video game world. Here's Metallica from Rock Band 2. They have a lot of followers out there. Now, what do you think of the trend? Rock band aficionados, Guitar Hero fans, explain it to us. What's the thrill? Does gaming through the music make it better, make it different, make it your own? And is this an extraordinary leap in engaging music or a way to kill a Saturday night with a plastic guitar? 800-423-8255 is our number, 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking today about the hottest thing in video games and maybe a new way to engage music. The Beatles rock band is coming out tomorrow, and they are not the first to head into the new realm of music on video games. Forget karaoke. This is way on down the road. You've got plastic guitar and bass and drums and a microphone to sing. It's a middle and Jimmy Eat World behind us right there, but tomorrow it's all about the Beatles. With us this hour, Alex Ragopoulos. He's CEO of Harmonix Music Systems. He was there to first develop Guitar Hero in 2005. It has been huge. Now, Harmonix is coming out with the Beatles rock band. It's out tomorrow. Lisa Robinson is with us as well from New York, contributing editor for Vanity Fair. Rolling Stone calls her rock journalism's top insider. Heather Chaplin is with us, video game journalist, co-author of Smart Bomb. They know a lot about the music and the games. You can join us. What do you think? Is this an evolutionary leap in engaging music? Do you want to be a virtual Beatle? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. The Beatles have been out and talking. Here's Paul McCartney on Entertainment Tonight, last night, talking about his own involvement in the development of the Beatles rock band.
We were very careful, saying George didn't move like that.
Yeah.
Ringo didn't drum like that. I would have had the guitar that way to do that, whatever.
And here's Yoko Ono, no less, saying the games could introduce a new generation to the music of the Beatles.
The young generation really don't know about the Beatles, and this is going to sound like new music to them, which is great.
New music, which is great. Lisa Robinson, what do you think? Does everybody know this, or is this a real introduction when it comes to video game for a younger generation?
Oh, I absolutely think that there are lots of people who do not know the Beatles' music. For those of us who grew up with it, obviously it's been everywhere. It's in our consciousness. You can just hear the first two notes of some songs, and you know exactly what it is. But that doesn't mean that kids who are 10 or 11 or 12 or people who are just starting to develop their own interest in their own bands. And let me just say another thing about parents and children enjoying these together. You know, when we grew up, we didn't want our parents to like our music. It was supposed to be ours. It was the thing that scared them. It got us out of the house.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not necessarily sure that the biggest plus is the parents and the kids playing it together, although I see that the parents and the grandparents actually grew up with the Beatles, so it's nice for them to know that their kids are hearing it. But kids are always going to have their own bands, and young people will always want to find their own bands. However, because the Beatles' music is so great, especially in the latter part of their career, I think. I mean, the beginning stuff was kind of cute and, yes, sweet, but it was also, you know, Chuck Berry and Buddy Holly and Taken from American Blues. So it wasn't like it was just this sort of silly pop songs. There was an edge to it. The Beatles started out in Hamburg looking like juvenile delinquents. They cleaned up their act a little bit when Brian Epstein told them, cut your hair, put on suits, you'll make more money. And I remember John telling me many times, I would have put on a balloon if it meant I was going to make more money.
And they made plenty.
Yeah, so I mean, I just think that since the music is so good, Yoko is absolutely right. It will sound like new music to this generation,
And I think it's going to win the group a tremendous amount of fans. And I think it's great to sort of keep it in the culture in this way.
Here's Back in the USSR, White Album, 1968, now 2009, out on the Beatles Rock Band. This can be you in the basement or the den tomorrow with the Beatles Rock Band. I wonder about historical accuracy here. Alex Rigopoulos is with us, co-creator of Guitar Hero and now Rock Band series. Alex, I mean, when they actually recorded this, Ringo Starr wasn't there. The other three members of the band were furious at each other. If we look back in the annals of what actually went on, in your video game, all four members are there in the studio. I don't know if they're glowering at one another. How much did you care about historical accuracy?
Well, our approach to historical accuracy was obviously something that we had to do in close consultation with all of the Apple shareholders. They all had their own points of view on it. But I think the goal here was not to produce a documentary. That's been done to death, and anyone who's interested in diving into those aspects of their history, they have many ways to do so. What we tried to capture here is what we call an experiential journey through the evolution of this music over the seven or eight incredible years that they were together making this music. And so there are certain departures from historical accuracy, such as one that you just touched on in this particular track. There was different instrumentation being played by different members of the band, but in the game we didn't reflect that. We had them playing their normal roles because, frankly, we felt that whatever may have personally been going on among the members of the band at that point in time was not the point here. That's not what it's about. This game is about the music. It's about the energy and spirit of this music and bringing it to, to two opportunities. One, to introduce it to a younger generation for the first time, and just as importantly, to reintroduce it to tens of millions of people who have loved this music passionately for decades, but to give them a way to experience it in an entirely new way.
Let's go to Jason, calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Jason, you're on the air. What do you think?
Hi, I want to tell you I'm a player, I'm a drummer, I've made a ton of music playing Beatles material.
And you're talking about the real deal, you're a real drummer,
yeah.
Okay?
Absolutely, I'll spend my time practicing drums before I'll go out, but anyway, what I wanted to say also that our music, the music that we played appealed to people of so many ages, like a 70-year-old with a Not the Beatles T-shirt and, 5-year-olds who wanted to come up and bang the drum. And I always, let them sit on the throne and mess around. And if this is something, if this is a way for people to get involved in music, I think it's wonderful. It's a lot easier for a family to gather around a screen or some toys than it is to get instruments and figure out how to play all that stuff. But a concern that I have is that people understand what they're doing, that they are playing a game, that they're not playing the guitar, and that they're not looking at the Beatles, and so on, because the language of, like, to visit or to chat has been co-opted by technology in a way that isn't accurate. And also the sound or the quality or the feeling of how an instrument is played is not going to come through something like that, and that's one of my absolute joys and enthusiasms about playing, is you can play something simple 50 different ways, and it'll feel different and sound different.
So you're generous. I mean, you're basically in a Beatles cover band, and you welcome it, but we hear the concern at the same time. Jason, thanks for that. Heather Chaplin, how about it? You've seen a lot of music played through these games at this point. How do you weigh the different factors here? You may introduce people to music they wouldn't have known. You got tremendous camaraderie, standing, sitting around, doing it. At the same time, you can kind of imagine an era where people love the music and sort of play it, ersatz, but we don't have real musicians.
I can't really say that I have any real concern that, that people are going to play this and think they're real musicians. And if they do and they get to have that fantasy, well, kind of good for them.
More power
I don't see really
them.
What
okay.
harm it is. I mean, the possibility and the power of video games, I mean, what's exciting about the medium is that it gives you an opportunity to have experiences you don't have in regular life. And sometimes that comes out in being, you know, a space marine that goes around shooting monsters. And sometimes it's getting to be a rock star playing guitar. And, you know, Alex pointed to this, but the feeling you get when you play really is extraordinary. You know, I think about first playing Guitar Hero, and there's a Boston song on there, More Than a Feeling, which I've never particularly liked. And all of a sudden I was playing it, and I just thought, oh, my God, what a utterly beautiful melody. I just never noticed this before. And you do – there's just no way you can tell me that you do not form a closer bond with the music and a deeper understanding of the music through playing the game. And just the other thing I would point out is the very nature of play is that you are doing something that isn't real but is in sort of, you know, what game theorists call the magic circle or whatever, that you are playing in a contained environment. So just like a little kid might have a little pretend kitchenette set, say, they're not literally learning how to cook, but they are learning sort of what it's like to be in the kitchen and what it's like to cook. So it's the same thing. It's a game. It's I don't have a problem with that.
I mean, listen, I guess, you know, we don't mock people for listening to music on a stereo. I guess why mock them for diving at least in up to their hips and picking up some kind of a role in the music. Maybe the intimacy is simply enhanced by getting physically engaged this way. What do you say, Lisa? Ooh, maybe Lisa's out playing. Let's go to
Ken. Were you talking to me?
Oh, yes, please. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, no, it's not only that it gets enhanced. I think it's alive, and that's the important thing. You know, when Mick Jagger was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I remember he quoted Jean Cocteau, who said famously, first you shock them, then they put you in a museum. And I think that the surviving Beatles and their widows, to their credit, do not want the Beatles to just be sort of, you know, embalmed in some museum. And I think that this helps continue keeping the music alive and current.
Alive and current. And what about the actual experience? I mean, if you're banging along on your rock band pseudo-instrument, are you deeper in the music than if you're sitting back and savoring it, you know, on the sofa while the stereo does the work?
I think it's a different experience. I can tell you from my own experience of trying to play the Clash's Should I Stay or Should I Go? I helped get the Clash their record deal. I know that song by heart. I know that it probably was ripped off from Little Latin Loop-de-Loop, almost note for note. However, I could not play that game. So for me, it was a frustrating situation, but I really wanted to try to master it because it looked like so much fun. I just got upset about being booed off the stage. Now, I understand that the Beatles are not booing people off the stage in this game, so, you know, that's a plus. I absolutely could imagine different experiences. There are ways that you can enjoy music live in concert. You can enjoy it sitting with headphones. You can enjoy it when you're walking with an iPod. You can enjoy it, you know, if you're stoned listening to it in your house. And I think playing this game is a very interactive, participatory thing that probably will make people feel even more connected to it. And I think all of these experiences are valid.
Lots of kinds of music now available for download to the Rock Band games, including songs from less well-known bands, even musical parodies. Many of the songs from Rob Reiner and Christopher Guest's mockumentary, This Is Spinal Tap, are available, including Stonehenge. You can even be part of a send-up on Rock Band, Guitar Hero, wherever you want to go. Kevin in Columbia, South Carolina. Kevin, you're on the air. What do you think?
Hi, Tom. How's it going?
Okay.
I wanted to go start out by saying thank you for playing Battery from Metallica right before the commercial.
You got it.
Metallica shirt right now.
You got it. Your Metallica shirt is giving you a big hug. What do you think about the game?
Well, I just never thought I'd hear it on NPR. It's amazing. But, actually, I think I lost about 4 months of my life playing rock guitar here at Metallica. I really did. I blacked out and lost it all. But my friends and I are actually in speed metal. We play a lot of speed metal, real guitar, and I'm a drummer and a guitarist. I know that sounds insane.
For real.
But, and actually, in my opinion, you know, you don't learn how to play guitar, but if you play a lot of speed metal, fast, hard things where your fingers are moving really quickly, the guitar on Guitar Hero actually strengthens your hands and moves. It really does. It makes you a faster player. And I know that sounds crazy because most people are like, oh, that's not true. But it is. It makes your hands stronger. It makes you able to grip and move faster and learn how to transition from front to back easier. And, you know, people just don't, you know, it's underestimated. It doesn't teach you how to play, but it makes you a faster, better, harder player.
So you're awesome. A real guitarist. How do you compare, Kevin, the thrill of actually playing, you know, when you're deep into it and you're soaring out there in the music, with the thrill, excitement, call it what you will, of Guitar Hero or Rock Band? I mean, does it come close? Is it halfway there?
I wouldn't say it comes close. I mean, it's different standing in your living room with a bunch of buddies in a, you know, 12-pack playing Rock Band or Guitar Hero as opposed to being on stage in front of, you know, a few thousand people or whatever. But it doesn't come close to that. But at the same time, it's just a blast. You know, I spent most of my life growing up playing air guitar to Metallica all day long, you know, just on the steering wheel or whatever while I was driving. And getting to play it, you know, I play a lot of it regularly, but getting to play it on screen and just see it, you know, just have fun with it and just do whatever you want, it's just a blast. It really is, and I love the games, and I'm always going to be a fan. So,
Kevin, we appreciate your call very much. You have so many more callers we can't get to. Alex, I mean, we have, including some music teachers here, saying, you know, if people would put in the same kind of time in their estimate, they would, in fact, be proficient. You're a creator here. I mean, you were there at the beginning for Guitar Hero and now the Beatles, Rock Band. Where do you see this going?
Well, in a couple of different directions. One is that, you know, already on the Rock Band platform, there are more than 800 songs that are playable. It'll be more than 1,000 by the end of this year, which sounds like a lot, and by video game standards, it really is. But if you compare that to the entire universe of incredible music, it's the tiniest sliver. So one of our big initiatives over the coming years is just exploding the quantity of music that's playable in interactive form. And actually, we just announced a new initiative called the Rock Band Network, which essentially opens up our tools to the outside world so that any artist can author up their music and publish it directly onto the platform. So we think that's going to help just explode the amount of interactive music that's available.
And what about that human interaction with music? How do you see it changing over time as this digital realm pushes deeper?
Well, so then I think the second big aspect of this is just new ways of play. I think that we've developed a very powerful form of music play in Rock Band, and there's still a lot of new features and whatnot that we would like to add to that. But you also have to ask, what are the other forms of music play that are still out there that haven't been tapped into yet? And I think over the coming several years, that's an area obviously we're going to want to experiment with.
The whole thing is on the move. Alex Ragopoulos, co-founder and CEO of Harmonix Music Systems, developed the first Guitar Hero game in 2005, and tomorrow the Beatles Rock Band is out. Alex, big day today, tomorrow, this week for you. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Heather Chaplin in New York, video game journalist, author of Smart Bomb. Heather, thank you so much for your insights today. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Lisa Robinson, contributing editor for Vanity Fair. Wonderful to have your insights, Lisa. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Tom. It's a pleasure.
We'll go out with Get Back, 1969, The Beatles. Now they're in a video game. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Thanks for joining us.